Pnimius in the Daf, Gemara Brachos Daf Yud. The Gemara has a fascinating story that's taking place between Yeshaya and Chizkiah, that Yeshaya the Navi and Chizkiah the Melech are both being stubborn, if we could say such a thing, and insisting that the other one should visit them. They're saying, you know, it's appropriate for the king to visit the Navi and the Tzaddik. The Navi's saying, and sorry, the king is saying, what do you mean? I'm the king, I'm the Melech, you should be visiting me. So Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a pshara, right? Says the Gemara, darshan's from the word pshara. That he made a pshara, that he managed to bring these two forces together. How? But he made Chizkiah very sick, and Yeshaya had to come to give him a nevuah. Yeshaya comes and says, you know, you're not going to survive from this sickness. This is going to be the end of you. And he says, why? He says, because you weren't Osik in Peruvu. You didn't try to procreate. You didn't try to have children as your obligation is. You never married and had kids. So Chizkiah says, well, I'll tell you why. I had a good logic because I saw in Ruach HaKodesh that there's really bad evil is going to come for me and for my descendants. So I just figured, you know, I could stop the buck over here and I could prevent that from happening. So Yeshaya says, what are you doing? It's not your job. It's not your, you know, like this. You do what you're supposed to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do what he's supposed to do. You're not supposed to get involved in Hashem's Cheshbonos. So he says, fine. He says, okay, so if that's the case, then I'll marry you. He says, let's make a shidduch between you and me. You know, I'm going to marry off my son to your daughter. But or vice versa, right? Let's make a shidduch between us. And Yeshaya says, well, there's already a decree on you, and you know, there's no way you're getting out of this. It's, you know, we can't change the din, the gzar din against you. So this gets Chizkiah very angry. He says, Amar le ben amotz, right, Yeshaya, kali nebuaschavitzei. Stop your prophecy, get out of here. Meaning, while you're speaking your prophecy, I'll listen to you. But as soon as you're giving your own ta'ich and your own thing, I don't want to hear that. You're telling me there's no time to pray. Kach mekubanim beis abiyava. I have a mesorah from my forefathers, from David HaMelech, that afilu cherev chada muneches al tzava rosh al adam. Even if there's a sharp sword mamish on the neck of a person, al yimne atzom min harachanim. You don't hold yourself back from tefillah. That there's no too late to daven, and the Gemara continues on the next Talmud, that at that moment miyad that Yisai v'chizkiel part of al kir v'yispal Hashem, that he turned his face to the kir. Turned his face to the wall, and he davened to Hashem, and ultimately he got a few more years. I think it was 15. And he got a few more years. You know, he davened, and the Gemara goes through what he davened for, what his zechusim were, what he, you know, claimed that merits he had, and he was able to daven, and he lived. This concept that even if there's a cherev chida muneches al tzav rosh al adam, even if there's a sharp sword on the neck of a person, that it looks like there's absolutely no hope to never stop davening. On a basic level is, oh, you know, always daven, always daven, always daven. There's an issue though. It's an issue in that the halacha is not always like this. Right? It's discussion in the postgame. In the halacha might come to do with a nes nigla versus a nes nistar. But can you always just daven? Can you daven if it seems like there's no hope? Right? Maybe it's a tefillah shav. Maybe it's a wasted tefillah. Maybe you're davening for something there's no chance of getting through. So Rav Mordechai Yosef Liner from Ishbitz, the Me'ashi Loach, the Ishbitz Rebbe, suggests an amazing, amazingly deep and profound approach to address this very issue. In the beginning of Parshas Veschanan, so what's happening in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people, right, the entire Sefer Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu telling over to the Jewish people, you know, his last Musar Shmuz, his last speech to them, his last, you know, Sicha as the Rosh Hashiva, his last message that he can impart. And he tells them, V'eschanan, right, Al Hashem, Be'isa Hilimor, and I daven to Hashem in that moment saying, right, that, you know, Hashem, I've been so good, ever now, like, let me go into Eretz Yisrael, V'aras Eretz Toiva. Let me come and see, right, the Ever Yardi, and let me see what Eretz Yisrael is all about. Let me go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling over the story that he davened, right? In Chazal say that Eschanan, he davened 515 tefilos. They kept davening. It's a weird message to impart that Moshe Rabbeinu knows he's not going in. He had this gezeira. Hashem swore that he's not going in. He knows he's giving his last speech. The Jewish people are going to leave this speech and then mourn him, you know, and then move on into Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to remember that he emphasized how much he davened to go to Eretz Yisrael and how he's not going in. And it's a bizarre, bizarre message that you want to impart about tefillah. And he's not telling about all the times where he davened and look what happened to me. He's saying, I davened, and nothing came from it. And I still davened. So it says to Ishbitzer, that was gufa, the message he was trying to impart. That he was saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to teach the Jewish people that no matter what is in front of you, no matter what the situation looks like, you have to daven. That's why it says, V'eschanan al Hashem be'is hahi lemor. That specifically at that very moment, at that moment when Hashem gave a gezerah, when Hashem swore to me that he wasn't going to let me go into Eretz Yisrael, I still didn't stop davening. I couldn't hold myself back. And he says, that's our Gemara. Chizkiyo says, you know, go. Even if there's a sharp sword on your neck, you don't hold yourself back from rachamim. So she'ein l'cha davar she'oymid v'chein rachamim. No matter what. There's nothing stands in front of rachamim. Right? And there's no, that's why it says he turns to the kir, meaning he turns to the kir, the kiris libo, or he says, Israel's kir is the makor hachayim. That even if it seems like this gezeirah came from Hashem, you say, well, I'm going to turn to Hashem. I'm still going to turn to Hashem. Right? If someone gets a decree from a king, where the king says, you know, to his son, to the princess, you know, here's a, I'm sending these soldiers to, you know, to bring you, to punish you, to hang you, to behead you. Well, so now that it's signed by the king and it's sealed by the king and it's sent to him, he still shouldn't go to the king? He still go to the king. Right on the entire story of Purim, there was a gezeirah against the Jewish people that the king said, oh, I signed it, I sealed it, I can't undo it. But you know what? By making a bakasha to the king, by Esther going back to Ahasuerus and saying, please, you know, find a way to do it. So they found a way around it. They wrote a new gezeirah that allowed it, without undoing the old gezeirah. That there's a way somehow. Somehow there's a way. So it's true. Can halachically one daven b'farhesia for a chola is a machlokas haposkim, right? A chola that this seems like is a gosis entirely, that it seems like they have no chance at all. For sure, it's, you know, not so clear that we can do a necessarily, that we're always allowed to do something, you know, a public type of asking for a chola. But Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, even if that's the case, b'eschanan al Hashem, I became a tefillah. I was davening over and over and over and over to the point where it was ki'ilu, I was like always davening. And you can't give up on your own tefillos, no matter what. No matter what happens, you can't. Right? Even if it seems like there's no Yeshua left for you, even if it seems there's no salvation, you double down on your tefillah. You say, I'm still going down until that last moment. Even when the sword is on your neck, on the middle of it being, not that it's on the neck that they're going to then lift it up and swipe it down, that it's on its way down, that you have milliseconds, you have that tefillah on your lips. And the idea is a powerful idea in terms of both believing in our own tefillos, that we believe that the salvation can come at any moment, but also in terms of what a tefillah is meant to be. That the tefillah is not just meant to be for whatever we're davening for. And that's important. Because the Ishbitzer says, Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to go into Eretz Yisrael, but his tefillah was answered in that he, you know, even though he didn't go in Begulf, he was still considered Moshe Rabbeinu. He still was their Rebbe, even as they went into Eretz Yisrael. Even though Yeshua was leading them, it's still the Hashpah of Moshe. We still refer to Moshe as Moshe Rabbeinu. There still was no Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, that there was no teacher of Torah, and no one as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's, you know, part of his tefillos were so that would travel with us to Eretz Yisrael. So it's true he didn't come in. It's true the tefillah didn't get answered the way he wanted to, but what he still taught us is an important lesson of you daven, and you daven, and you daven. And sometimes it's hard, because we get the answer no. And sometimes it seems like we're getting the answer no, and sometimes maybe we actually even are getting the answer no. Maybe it's saying, no, there's a gezerah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem was nishba that we're not going to Eretz Yisrael. You know, that could happen. It happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. But what Moshe Rabbeinu still davened? That's not an excuse. We can't say, oh, Hashem told me no, or it's impossible. Impossible, maybe, yeah, maybe an impossible tefillah. We don't daven for a nes nigla for certain reasons. So we might not, you know, make a whole thing in shul and a whole rally on a situation that's totally gone, that we have no chance. But we should still be davening and davening until the last moment. And that's the message of Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah teaches us this. And the Ishbitzer teaches us from Moshe Rabbeinu that no matter what, but even if there's a Shavua from a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, Be'isahi, Gufa at that time, at that specific moment, that's the time to daven to Hashem. And maybe we can say that that's why usually we read Parshas V'eschanan right around the times, right after Tisha B'Av. Or, you know, around the time when we're dealing with the Churban. Because when you have a Tisha B'Av and you feel like, okay, like we're not having a Beis HaMikdash anymore, like that's gone. It's the biggest time of Yesh in terms of what can my tefillah accomplish. It was a day where you weren't even allowed to daven. We said this, you know, the shahr of tefillah were closed. And it's just like, what are you supposed to do with yourself? How are you supposed to believe in your tefillahs? You know, what is mincha like on Tisha B'Av? And so when comes Shabbos Nachum and we read Ves Chana, and then we get this message of Moshe Rabbeinu saying, no, even when there is no hope, you daven. What is Shabbos on Tisha B'Av? I don't know, because I don't know how I'm supposed to be davening. I don't know what that means. I'm still going to daven. And it's such a powerful, powerful lesson. And that's what we get on Nachum, would remind us that no matter how dark it was, we can constantly daven. We take that with us through the whole year while we're trying to daven and believe in our own tefillos, that hopefully we won't have to have a Tisha B'Av the next time around. And we need to learn how to believe in our tefillos. And we shall be Zohar.